Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today. What a blessing it has been, as always. We just are so thankful for that. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119. One of my favorite chapters in all the Bible is Psalms 119. And it's one of the longest of the Bible as well, but it has so much in there concerning the importance of the Word of God, the importance of the Bible. And we're going to be reading Psalms 119, verse 1. We'll read down to verse 24. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. The Bible is God's Word. And the question this morning is, what are we doing with it? The Bible is God's Word, no question about it. No question about it. God has preserved it for us so that we might know the very thoughts, the very mind of a creator God. The Bible is the Word of God. What are we doing with it? Psalms 119, verse 1. The Bible says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord. Teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. Deal bountifully with Thy servant that I may live and keep Thy word. Open Thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of the law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not Thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto Thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from Thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept Thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but Thy servant did meditate in Thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before You, what a blessing it's already been just being assembled together in this place. Thank You for Your presence here. Thank You for the music and how You've worked through that to be a blessing to us. And now, Father, as we open up the precious Word that You have preserved for us, that we might know the very thoughts and the mind of an almighty God, I pray, God, that each one of us here would be receptive to what You have for us. I pray that You would use me once again as an instrument in Your hand to bring forth Your message to Your people from Thy Word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. There's no doubt the Bible is the very words of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God has promised that His word would not. We will have this Bible until God determines to take His church on to glory. But all people need to realize how important it is to know what God has to say. The Bible reveals to us that one day all will, for the Bible says in Romans 14:11, "For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. There's no doubt that every person who has already died a physical death knows this. They know of the importance of God's word. Just a second after death, all people realize that there is a Creator God. All people realize that the Bible was true. All that have died and are either rejoicing or tormented by this truth. Those in heaven are rejoicing. Just a week or so ago, Brother Tom Long, when the latest ones of our church family has gone on to glory, can I tell you this morning that he's with all the others that have passed on to glory before him, and he's rejoicing over knowing the truth while he was here. Amen. And living the truth while he was here. He's rejoicing in heaven today. In Psalms chapter 119, as we've read this, it presents some great truths concerning God's written down word. It tells us some things that, verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way. We're blessed because they walk in the law of the Lord. And then he says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. If you're walking after the word of God and living focused on that, you're not going to sin. They walk in his ways. Verse 6 says, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. There's a confidence there. There's not anything to be ashamed of when you're walking according to the very words of God. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. In verse 24, he says this, thy testimonies, and that is the very words of God, what God has left for us as a testimony, as the very mind of God, thy testimonies also are my delight. I'm excited about them. I'm delighted. Every time I learn something about from the word of God, it encourages my soul, he says, and they're my counselors. Oh, but that we would all desire the word of God to counsel us. In every aspect of life, one of the things we ought to be asking ourselves, and we have decisions to be made, and whatever it is, we ought to be asking ourselves, what does the Bible say about that? When somebody asks you for some counsel, when they ask you on help in knowing what to do, one of the most important thing that you could tell them to do is seek the counsel of the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about the decision that you're getting ready to make? And let the Bible be your counselor. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. So there's so much, and as we've read here in these first 24 verses in Psalms 119, but verse 11, I'm going to spend a little bit of time on verse 11 when the psalmist says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. The psalmist knew what he needed to do with the word of God and why. The first thing he says, thy word have I hid. The very word of God, he hid it. Now, in this definition of this word, as we read there, the definition that he's presenting to us is to keep safe. Or to protect. When he was saying, I'm hiding God's word in my heart, he says, I have such a respect for it that I want to keep it safe. I want to protect it. Once received, we must value the very words of God. He valued it to the place that he says, I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose it. Can I tell you, we hide things that we value. We hide our cars in our garages. Unless you value your bass boat more, then you hide your bass boat in your garage. and the car sits outside. But you hide it. You put it in a garage. You shut the door. It protects it from the elements. It protects it from the weather. It helps keep away from thieves. And you know that if it's in the garage and locked in there, it's protected. We hide our money in our billfolds. And when we're out in public, especially if you're around the airport or different things, you hide it back there and you're always checking it. All right, it's still there. I got it right there. Why? Because I want to protect it. I know that in that billfold, if I have a need, then I have to have my money, and the money has to be protected or somebody's going to steal it. And so we hide our billfolds in our wallets, and ladies hide everything in their purses. It shouldn't, but it surprises me some of the things my wife pulls out of her purse until I pick it up, and then I realize, 50 pounds, there better be something in there worth protecting, amen? She complains about having a sore shoulder, and if I carried that purse, I would have a sore shoulder. But we hide the things that we value. Make sure that it's in a safe place. We must value the very words of God, and we must protect it. I don't want to lose sight of what thus saith the Lord. It's my counselor. I make decisions all the time. And if I don't have the knowledge of the Word of God, I will not make the right decisions. The right decisions have to be based upon an almighty Creator God who knows all things. If I don't value it and protect it and hide it, can I tell you the devil will steal it from me? Jesus gave a parable about that in Matthew chapter 13, if you look there with me. Matthew chapter 13, he gave a parable of the sower, and he's sowing seed, and then he gives a definition, an explanation of the parable to his disciples, and he reveals to them that what the seed represented, the very words of God. And he says, in giving an explanation of the sower and what he had presented in this parable, he says in verse 18, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one," talking about the devil, "and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." He received it, but he didn't understand it. He didn't value it. He didn't hide it. He didn't make sure that it was planted in his heart and his mind and memorized and understood and knew exactly how to apply it. Because he didn't have that, he didn't hide it as we ought to hide the Word of God, then Satan was able to take it and take it away from him, and then he would have to live his life without the knowledge of the Word. He goes on and says, "But he that received the seed unto stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word," that means that he had been applying the word, but he didn't really fully understand it. He hadn't hid this understanding in his heart. And he was persecuted because he didn't realize that people in the world that are evil are not wanting to pat you on the back for living for Christ. They're not going to encourage you to have the Bible convictions that God wants you to have. And when you stand upon the convictions from the Word of God, then you're going to have to suffer some persecution. But if you haven't hid that in your heart and understanding that, then you'll be offended by it, by being persecuted for just applying the Word of God. And when you're offended by it, then you'll turn away from it. He also said, "He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word." You don't give it the proper priority that it needs to have, But you put it under the priority of riches. You put it under the priority of entertainment. You put it under the priority of whatever you might place there. And we put it under that priority. We don't prioritize it like we should. He becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed in the good ground, means you receive it, you understand it, and you realize what it is. It's the very words of an almighty God. And he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. I mean, he's living it now. He's given it the priority. He's hid it in his heart, and he's living by it. The Bible says, he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Because he understands the importance of it. You see, that's to hide it, to value it to the place you'll keep it safe and you'll protect it. Go back with me, Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119, there in verse 11. Not only did he say, "Thy word have I hid," but he says, "I hid it in my heart." In his heart. Notice he didn't say, "I hid it in my mind." Memorizing the Word of God is important. And I tell people, just don't memorize just to be memorizing it. Sometimes people want to memorize it just so they can quote it off to make them look spiritual. But that's not the reason for it. We need to memorize verses that help us. One of the most important verses in all the Bible to memorize is God's plan of salvation. Because one of the first things that Satan's going to try to hinder you and try to steal from you is the peace of your own salvation. The peace that passeth all understanding comes to us that have assurance of salvation. When you are assured of your salvation, knowing that no matter what happens to me in this world, no matter what, even if I die, praise the Lord, what we think could be the worst thing can be the best thing. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And if I'm assured of that, then I have a peace that passeth all understanding. And as I live in this world, the worst that could happen to me is I could die and go to heaven. Satan wants to steal that from you. He doesn't want you to have assurance of your salvation. He wants you to fear death. He wants you to fear the things of this world. And listen to me, if you have that which God gives to us, the promises of eternal security, eternal life, there is something that will be a blessing to you for the rest of your existence. Memorize those salvation verses. Because once you memorize it, when Satan tries to come at you and tell you that you're not saved and you don't know that there's a heaven, all you have to do is quote that verse. And you resist the devil with the very words of God, and he will flee. And it can help you. Memorize salvation verses, because not only will it help you, but it'll help you to accomplish one of the most important things that we are to do on this planet Earth, and that is to win others to Christ. Amen. I've memorized some of the first verses that I've memorized is the Romans Road, and I memorized those so that I would have assurance of salvation, but also that I could help others to have assurance of their salvation. That I could become a soul winner, that I knew exactly what the Bible said, and if I received it and was saved, then what I received and how I know that I got saved is how everyone else needs to get saved. They need to receive exactly what thus saith the Lord. This is what the Bible says, and I've put it to memory, and I'll take it out, and I'll show them, I'll let them read it. But while they're reading it, I'm quoting it to them because I've put it in my mind. I've memorized that. But he said, "I hid it in my heart." See, it's got to come through the mind. You have to have this understanding, but then once you have it, place it in your heart. Get it into your heart. You see, our memories may fail us. Anybody experiencing that? Everybody over 50? Yeah. Our memories may fail us. And sometimes I know the verses, I've memorized them, but for some reason, I just go blank. Amen? As you know, many times I go blank in knowing people that I know. Rusty, my son-in-law, I could have forgotten his name, amen? I don't know when it's going to happen. Any other time I'd be able to call him by name and talk to him, but you get up here on the platform and I've got to introduce him, I'm thinking, what's that name? Bill, Bob, Ron. So sometimes our memory will fail us. But when our lives are molded by the very words of God, it makes us who we are. It makes us who we are, and it just is automatic to do certain things. I've driven home from church for 19 years in the same house, and I've gotten home before thinking, how'd I get here? My mind was on something else, and before you know it, I'm at home, and I'm thinking, I don't remember stopping at any stop signs. I hope there wasn't, and, you know, I don't remember seeing. I left the church with things on my mind. Before you know it, I'm at home, and I'm thinking, I don't remember the drive home. But I got home. You know how I got home? The directions was in my heart, just who I was. I knew exactly. I mean, the car would have gone without me even driving it. Amen? Now that we moved just a month or so ago, and my car still wants to go back to the old house. Now I got to get back over. You got to turn here. You got to go straight. Instead of turning, you got to go straight to the new house. So now I've got to teach my body how to drive to our new house instead of our old house. But when our lives are molded by the words of God, it makes us who we are. Verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. My ways are not my ways anymore, because I've allowed the word of God to mold me and directed me to keep thy statutes. And thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. It's just who I am. See, the reason I live and think the way I do is because of God's word in my heart. That's how important it is. It's who I am. Saved when I was 8. I'm going to be 61. 53 years of being saved and looking to the words of God. I've been pastoring, I've been in the ministry for some 37 years now. The word of God has just been a part of my life. And I am who I am today. And I have the convictions I have today. I have the thinking that I have today. When I see something, I know if it's right or wrong, not based upon my thoughts, but because I have allowed the word of God not only to be in my mind, to be in my heart. It's molded me into who I am. And that's how God wants us to live. God wants us not just to memorize the words so we can just say the words, but we need to put it in our hearts. It needs to be a part of molding us into the kind of people that we are, the kind of husbands, the kind of wives, the kind of fathers, the kind of mothers, the kind of Christians. Amen. It needs to be molded by the very words of God. That's how important the word of God is to us. Many times, I know what I should do around the house. I know what will be done and what won't get done if I don't do it. Amen? My wife does everything inside pretty much. I do everything outside. I know that in the summertime I need to cut the grass. I have a head knowledge of the grass needing to be cut. But if my heart is in playing golf, I find a way to play golf. Amen. My head says, no, it's time. The grass is going to get too long and you need to get it cut. My heart says, oh no, look at that sunshine. It's warm outside. My heart says, I'm going to find a way to get out of what my head says needs to get done in chores. And my heart leads me to the golf course. Amen. And what's in your heart will lead you. No matter what kind of knowledge you have in your head. No matter what you know you ought to be doing as a born-again believer, you know what the Bible says, but if it's only in your head and it's not in your heart, you haven't allowed it to mold you and it has not become who you are. But when you allow it to mold you and it becomes who you are, then it's in your heart and your heart will lead you to do what God says to do. First of all, understood the value of the Word of God. He said, I got to hide it. I've got to keep it safe. I can't let Satan steal it from me. And not only do I need to hide it in my mind, but I got to hide it in my heart. Because I want it to be who I am. Amen. If you want that to be who you are, it can be. When the Word of God becomes your counselor, everything I do, I run it by the very words of God. Every decision I make, I have to run it by what does God say about this? And after a while, it just becomes who I am. And it'll become who you are if you hide it in your heart. And then he says, the most important reason to do this. There's a lot of reasons. It's so beneficial. But the most important reason, that I might not sin. All sin is against God. So basically, that I might not sin. Anybody who truly knows who God is, and you know where sin will take you, would not want to sin. The wages of sin is death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Is that really the direction you want to go? A death to your peace, the path of all understanding? A death to your walk and fellowship with God? A death in a relationship, a good godly relationship with your spouse, a death in your testimony that should be, that you ought to value to others? Is that really where you want to go, is the place of death? And that's exactly where sin is going to take you if you allow sin to have its will in your life. But if you hide God's word in your heart and it becomes who you are and you let the word of God become your counselor, listen to me. The Bible says, the psalmist understood, I do this so that I will not sin. If we obey God's word, we will never sin. Sin is the result of disobedience to God. Disobedience, either not doing what he says to do or doing what he says not to do. That's sin. Disobedience. You might know that it's wrong in your mind, but if it's not in your heart, you'll go ahead and do it anyway. And when you do, you've sinned against God. Those who live in according to the words of God are blessed. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Why are you undefiled in your life? Because who walk in the law of the Lord. Even without even realizing, you've allowed the word of God to mold you, and you'll walk in the word of God without even knowing it. Sunday, I don't even think about what I'm going to do on Sunday. Well, you say, you're the pastor, yeah? No, before I ever was in the ministry, when I looked to the Word of God, it just became automatic. I didn't question it. I only started questioning it when I allowed Satan to start stealing the Word from my heart. That's right. He says, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. Because it's in their heart. Amen. It's priority in their lives. It is mold. It's who they are. And if you're making who you are, you will not sin. Because you won't be disobedient. You'll do everything you know is right to do. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. How many have sit down and listen to somebody who just started taking piano lessons? I know even if it's your own child, it's hard to listen to. Amen? And you know, you think it's going to sound one way and they hit the wrong chord and whatever. And in your mind, you think, will they ever be able to play? And then they continue learning how to read the notes and practicing what they have learned. And before you know it, it starts getting a little better and a little better. And then you can start making out at least what they're trying to play. And then they continue with it. And then you start enjoying it. And for that beginning piano player, because they had a desire to learn how to play, and they learned, they spent time learning and spent time practicing, and then they become like a Becky, an accomplished pianist that can play without even looking at the notes. You could put a blindfolder on her and she could just go ahead. Why? Because she's allowed it to become who she is. She's allowed it to just be a part of who she is. Oh, but that we would allow the very words of God to mold us into being who God wants us to be. It's God's word. What are you doing with it? If I could have ever head bowed, every eye closed. It is God's word. Whether you deny it now, you will one day realize it is. A second after death, everyone who has ever lived realizes that God is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. And the Word of God is powerful. Don't wait too long. Don't wait too long to give yourself to the words of God. Let them be your counselor, that which molds you into being the person God wants you to be. Father, we bow before you now. We love you and thank you, Lord God, for the message in Psalms 119. And I pray, God, that you would now help each one of us to make application. If there's someone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that right now, God, that you'd bring conviction in their heart, reveal to them their need to receive that gift that you want to give them of eternal life. There's others here that are saved but have never prioritized the very words of God. Oh, God, I pray right now they would see the need to valuing it, to prioritize it, to hide it in their hearts. Work in our midst now. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.